Doug Adler. He's a senior vice president for investments in East Lansing for Raymond James. Doug, how are you?
Tony, fantastic. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Sorry to drag. Did I drag you out of the shower this morning?
You know, actually, we had a new. My wife gave birth last week to a new addition to the family.
I know. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I was up ready for you an hour ago, and I have to be honest, I did kind of fade back away.
Well, thanks for being with us. I know through some emails that you had an opportunity to take a listen to the Dylan Radigan rant. I wanted to hear what you thought about what he had to say.
Something. You know, he's spot on, really. I think if you look at, Tony, what's happening really around the globe, I mean, you kind of alluded or led into the bringing me on about talking about Europe. It's the exact same thing. And globally, we're in this situation where the bills have just gotten too big. It's really analogous to, you know, let's say I had a mortgage and maybe I bit off a little bit more than I could chew. And I'm trying to make the payment. And one of two things ultimately happens to me if I bought too much house is either I'm going to have to just default, which is what's happening in Greece, potentially in Spain or Italy, or it's going to consume, the payment is going to consume so much of my cash flow, I'm never going to build or be able to put money anywhere else. And that's kind of what's happening to the rest of the globe. The U.S. is an example of it. It's hard for us now to commit, you know, capital, which in this case, in our country, it's tax dollars. Hard to put those dollars other places because the entitlement programs are consuming almost everything. You know, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and then defense budget. Those are the big four, and they just keep consuming capital. Those numbers are growing exponentially, and we're not growing tax revenue fast enough. And the problem is now is the bills have gotten so big, there's not enough tax revenue really to come in behind it to fund these things, so we have to cut. And, you know, nobody wants that. And that's kind of what the globe's going through right now. And I think that's what Mr. Radigan was speaking to, is that it's gotten insane. The public knows, but the politicians won't admit it.
What does Dylan Radigan mean that the United States is being extracted through banking, trade, and taxation?
You know, he was a tad emotional at that point, I think, right?
Just a bit.
I'm not exactly sure where he was going, but I think, you know, look, I've been in the business, financial service business, you know, 20 years now. And, it's true. At some level, the game is, I don't think rigged's the right word. I think that would definitely be an overstatement. But every industry in this country, and it just so happens, and you know, in the public mind right now, the finance is at the fore of this, is that, you know, the bigger you get, the more money you have, the more access you garner from politicians and, you know, benefits you extract. You know, look, it's not just finance. It's, of course, that's what he was talking about. But, I mean, look at the agriculture industry. I mean, it's dominated by a few. Almost everything now is dominated by a few players. Those few players in almost every business have the capital to go out and, you know, meet people that, you know, Doug Adler can't go talk to in Washington, D.C., and good stuff happens. And, you know, we've allocated so much money to the finance industry, and they've created these products. I think one of the things he was driving at is I think there are some vehicles that people at the top of these major financial institutions around the globe would be hard-pressed to articulate relatively coherently what the heck they do. And that's some of what happened to us back when Lehman Brothers kind of started the whole cascade. These kind of esoteric products that have been built, no one knows exactly what they do. When the world's working, they're good, and when the world's not working, they get bad really fast. And I think that's what he's talking about, because when that happens, then, you know, you, me, and every other taxpayer gets to kick in to save the day. And, yeah, he's right about that, and it's sad.
From your perspective, as an investment guy, can we get the money out of politics, as Radigan suggests?
Wouldn't that be utopia? Yeah, you know, it seems, how do you do that, right? One thing I will say about the financial industry is that you know, like every business, I think, or industry maybe, you know, 80-90% of it is pretty wholesome and does, you know, does good. You know, things I do, let's say as an example, in mid-Michigan, you know, I'm not creating, you know, credit default swaps in New York City and selling them to some small town in the Netherlands and then, you know, blowing up the pension for their teachers over there, which is, you know, stuff like that happened. But, you know, how do you get the politics out? I don't know how you do. You know, this whole thing about too big to fail as it relates to the banks, you know, that line has been used a million times. And essentially what the politicians did is the banks are bigger now. I mean, think about the major banks in this country. Most of those banks, you know, consolidated. They rolled up somebody else that was weak underneath them with the hands of government. And so they're actually bigger today, Tony, than they were, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. So the politicians, I think that's where it goes back to, is, you know, business is going to do whatever it can to be successful. I mean, if I'm, you know, running J.P. Morgan, I'm going to do whatever I can do to try to be successful. And if I can extract, you know, good favor from Uncle Sam in some fashion, I'm going to do it because that's my responsibility to my shareholders. It really ultimately goes back to the politicians. They set the rules. And I can tell you that they haven't done much to set the rules to protect the taxpayer. If the world starts to tumble, you could be pretty confident that, and I'm talking financially, starts to tumble out of Europe. That's where we sit today. You could be pretty confident that the legislation that was passed, the Dodd-Frank Act, in the U.S. following the crisis here, is not going to stop our banks from being in trouble again. And all you have to do, you know, to take Doug's word for it, look at the stock prices. Major banks in this country, you watch what those stocks have done over the last 6 months, I can tell you they're not going up, Tony, they're going down. And the reason they're going down is investors are worried that this contagion can happen and that our banks aren't insulated from it.
Well, we've got two more questions for Doug Adler, who's the Senior Vice President for Investments with Raymond James in East Lansing. Doug, the President, and by President I mean Barack Obama, has said that the banking system has been improved, but according to Rattigan, it's still a broken system. Can it be fixed? Is it on the road to being repaired?
The banking system is improved in that the capital positions of the banks, the monies they have behind them to cushion a blow should loans start to go bad, investments start to go bad, things like that. That has been improved. But to Mr. Rattigan's point, you know, no, I don't think it does get better in the sense that the laws have not really changed in any meaningful way. The stuff that got us into trouble, derivatives, you know, these credit default swaps, which are just essentially insurance policies, but they're the web, the tentacles is pretty long of these products, and you know, I won't get into it right now, Tony, for the sake of time, but that's not regulated any more today than it was 3 years ago. And you know, when that happens, meaning you don't get chains of the culprit of the issue, the Lehman Brothers AIG thing, that was all credit default swaps. I mean, there's other stuff, but those were at the front of that. We didn't do anything to regulate that. You don't know me, or you, or anyone else, for that matter. We don't have any better idea today how much of that kind of stuff that these banks own and issue than we did 3 years ago. And, you know, you have to ask yourself why. You can conclude a lot of different things. I happen to think that the reason we don't is it's so big. It's so big, nobody really wants, you know, say, the people to know. And that's not good. I mean, I hope I'm wrong about that, but, you know, that was the issue. We didn't do anything about it. It doesn't make any sense. But so, again, back to Mr. Rattigan, I think he's right, but until you get politicians that, you know, aren't going to be lobbied away by these folks, you're going to have this stuff.
All right, we had economist Patrick Anderson on the program this morning, and he said if you eliminate Freddie and Fannie, that would significantly help our financial situation. You agree or disagree, and is that possible?
There's a lot of people that would like to see that happen. You know, the problem, and I'm sure Mr. Anderson could speak to this much more fluently than I can, but, you know, the one of the big arguments has always been, I happen to agree with it, is this, that there are these private enterprises in the sense that they're publicly traded stocks, but losses are, you know, the public's. And that's what's happened here is, you know, Fannie and Freddie, without massive, I mean, hundreds of billions now, in, you know, money being injected to them by the taxpayer since 08, they're gone. They're on life support right now, and those were private companies in the sense that they, you know, they traded, they had reporting, all the other things like public companies do. But ultimately, when General Motors go, well, I shouldn't say General Motors anymore, because that's changed too. When Kmart went bankrupt, that was it. Okay. When Fannie and Freddie went bankrupt, that wasn't it, because what happened was Uncle Sam came in with, you know, our money and gave it back to him. And yeah, that's the thing with all this government stuff, and maybe this is the bigger point he was driving at, is that it's an allocation of capital question, and it ultimately becomes, and this is the fundamental debate in this country, and I think, you know, in a sense, it's what the election is going to be about. You know, half the country tends to think that the private sector can allocate capital better. That's, you know, you make money at the radio station, Tony gets and his family get to spend it the way they want. Or, you know, you're going to give a big chunk of that to Uncle Sam in Washington, and they're going to decide how it's going to be allocated. And that's really a fundamental question, is ultimately, do you think, you know, business owners, private enterprise, some small, some big, can they allocate money more wisely than Uncle Sam can? And that's really what the debate's about. I think that's what Fannie and Freddie are about. What we're really saying at the core is that we need those, and in some ways you do, but not to what they became. You know, do we need those entities, or can the private marketplace? I mean, there's a lot of great, we've been kind of hitting on the banks. There's tons of great banks in this country. The core banking business, pretty straightforward, right? Folks come in the front door, they open an account. Bank puts the money in the checking account, savings account, pays a little bit of interest to the client, makes a little bit of a spread. That goes to the bottom line. They send loans to good credit people. That game is pretty simple. Worked for a long, long time until we got into all this, you know, other stuff that we've been talking about. So the system can work. There's no question about it. But we just have to have the will on a lot of different levels, and I think that's where the country's at. We got to figure some stuff out because the path we've been on is clearly not working.
Doug Adler is with Raymond James in East Lansing. Doug, thanks so much. Congratulations on the new baby. We'll talk with you soon.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Have a great day.